Thank you, Pat. Just to reiterate again, the person that was supposed to do this seminar is not here. So by really no stretch of the imagination, I am not what you would call a safety team, security team specialist, okay? So we're going to lower the bar right away, okay? Just as low as you can possibly go. But I am passionate about this, church safety, and I do know how we have started a safety team in our church. So that's really what the focus of this seminar is going to be about, is what we have done at New Life Church. And that's why I have Jeff here. Jeff's in charge of our safety team. So before we jump into some of these things, the nuts and bolts of the presentation, I do want to share this with you. When God called me to be a pastor, I was an evangelist for 13 years in the Nazarene Church. When God called me to be a pastor, one of the things that I knew that He had called me to do in a local church setting was to shepherd the people. And I realized that was not only protecting them the best I could spiritually, emotionally, but unfortunately in this day and age, it also meant physically, right? Physically. So something happened in 2017 in Sutherland Springs. A church in Texas had an active shooter incident happen in the building. And I remember watching that take place, looking at the news coverage. Not that this hadn't happened before, but what happened in Sutherland really kind of got my mind going and my heart going. And I thought, I wonder if New Life Church is protected. I wonder what would happen if New Life Church was this church in Sutherland, Texas. What would we do? And I didn't know what to do. That actually has happened a lot in my first 7 years at New Life Church. I didn't know what to do. So I called our DS, and only as our DS could, with all his wisdom, he shared with me, he said, "I don't know either." That was great. That was so awesome. He said, "No, actually," he goes, "I tell you what you should do." He goes, "You probably should start with your insurance company. So whoever covers your insurance, give them a holler." And that was a great idea. So before I jumped in there, I think we got some slides. There we go. So before I jumped in there and called our insurance company, I thought, I'm going to learn all I can about the security of church. Security teams, safety teams, what does that look like? And so I was fortunate. There was a church down in Springfield, a very large church called James Rivers Church. Some of you probably heard of it. But down at James Rivers, they were offering free online seminars to churches that wanted to start safety teams and security teams. And so I wanted to get that knowledge myself before I jumped into this whole situation and call our local insurance company. So that's what I would encourage you to do. If you're thinking about starting one, I would start with learning some training yourself. That seminar was 3 different days for an hour each. So I spent 3 hours watching that seminar and then interacting with other pastors. And then I begin to ask other pastors as well. I would call them up. What are you doing at your church? Different size churches, large churches, small churches, churches in the city, rural churches. I called all different kinds to find out what churches were doing to keep their congregants safe. And here's what I found out. A lot of churches were doing nothing. A lot of Nazarene, most of the Nazarene churches I called were doing nothing. Some churches were like, "Well, I carry a firearm, and there's a couple other guys in the congregation, they carry a firearm. We figure between the three of us, we'll take care of whatever happens in case there's a shooting incident at our church." And I'll be honest with you, that didn't sound safe to me whatsoever. Right? The Old West style of security did not sound like what I wanted to get New Life involved in. So I went through that training, and the first thing I did after the training was I called our insurance company. I said, "Hey, listen, we're thinking about doing a security team, a safety team. What do you think about that? What do you think we should do, and where should we start?" And immediately he said, "These are the things that you need to do." And that's what I would encourage you to do. After you get some training, I would encourage you to then, the first call that you make is to your insurance company and find out what their requirements are for you to carry an insurance policy for your security team. Because I will also tell you this, I would not start a security safety team without insurance coverage. I would not do it without it. Okay?
Absolutely, yeah. No, and I think it's not that's for the protection of the church, but it's also the protection of those that are going to serve it. Because you don't want to ask somebody and they carry and say, well, what's my liability and all this? So I think that's a critical first thought. And they'll tell you that too. And before you're asking for those to volunteer and even saying what's this going to be, you want to be able to provide that for them, that safety, both for the church, of course, but also those that are going to serve.
There was a phrase that I learned when I became a pastor. It's my favorite phrase, and it's this: limited liability. I love that phrase. What that means is, in a lawsuit, you have limited liability. There's less that you pay out. So I'm all for limited liability. I don't want to hold the church responsible for something that we're not responsible for. But I also know this: if I'm asking volunteers to carry a firearm into our church, then I also want to protect them if they're going to protect us. Okay? And so again, I would start with the insurance. That's where I would start. Again, with training for yourself. And then I would begin to identify folks in your church that are safety conscious. People that you trust. Give you a great example of this. My brother's not here. I love him to death. He loves firearms, but there's things that he does with his firearms that I don't think are very safe, and I would not put him on our safety team. Okay? There's some people who are gun enthusiasts that are not safe. And just because you have some folks that are gun enthusiasts in your church does not make them good candidates to be on your security team. So you're not looking for gun enthusiasts or firearm enthusiasts. You're looking for safety conscious people. Now, if I have a favorite phrase when it comes to insurance, limited liability, I have a favorite name that I like to roll off my tongue when it comes to conscientious people and people who are very safety concerned folks, and that is Jeff Killian. So I went to Jeff and I said, Jeff, here's the thing, here's what's going on. By the way, Jeff and I both have our conceal and carry. We both carry on a regular basis, just so you know. So we've been through, both of us have been through training and safety along those lines. And I came to Jeff and I said, Jeff, I really think this is a step that we need to take to keep our parishioners safe. We cannot control what's going on in our world outside. And it's getting more and more dangerous, and people are bringing that into the church, right? These things are happening not just in other places, they're happening in churches. And I know there's this great debate, well, the Lord will take care of us and you shouldn't have to have a firearm. And I understand where people are coming from when they say that. But I also know this, before the rain started, God told Noah, build a boat, you'll need it. I'm just saying, we have these tools that I pray to God that we never use. My prayer is that we never fire a weapon in our church during one of our services, ever. Ever. Okay? But I also know this, it's the world in which we live, and we can't control the rains. And so we have to be safety conscious. Okay? So the first thing I did is I started approaching some people in my church that I thought would be good leaders. And then I found somebody to lead this. Pastors, I'm going to tell you right now, and you don't need to lead this. In my opinion, in my humble opinion, you don't need to lead this. This is Jeff's baby. Jeff does the scheduling for it. Jeff does the training for it. I no longer carry my firearm here to church. I'm not one of the people on the team. They don't need another person to randomly shoot, and they certainly don't need somebody from the platform shooting. That's for sure, right? That none of that is safety conscientious. And so, pastors, let someone else handle that. You can be passionate about it. You're the shepherd. You need to protect your folks, but let someone else carry this out, okay? But I would also encourage you to go to as much training as you possibly can. Yeah. Anything?
Yeah. And I think in picking those people, and Jim kind of mentioned that, I think that's also easier for someone other than the pastor to do. So, you know, it's part of what we do when we choose board members and when we nominate. There is a process to go through, and not everybody is somebody that you would say, yeah, that's the person that we do. So we're very selective in that. We talk about it. I always go over it with Jim if we need to fill a role or fill that. But I think that's a very, very key piece. And what he says is we're not looking for enthusiasts. There's a lot of enthusiasts. But it is somebody that really thinks about safety first, cares about that, is responsible. And that doesn't mean somebody that's not young can't do that. But I think that's where we've got to be very, very careful in selecting those people and making sure that they're the kind of people that, yeah, we feel comfortable with. And Jim will go in later, because it's not just, yeah, I carry once every week. Our safety team, they all carry, or even when they're not serving. So it is something that we want to be real diligent about.
Yeah. Just because Bubba's good at shooting a deer from 100 yards doesn't mean he should be on your safety team. Just going to throw it out there. All right, can we go to the next slide? There we go. So I contacted our insurance company, and I'll give you a name and a number if you want of the insurance company that we have, where we carry a rider on our existing policy. And it honestly is not that much. I think it's maybe $50 extra a year to cover our safety team. But with that comes a list of expectations, things that you have to provide to the insurance company, right, in order to get this coverage. So the insurance guy that we have, and again, I'm gonna throw this name out there and give you the cell number. You can call him and ask questions. You don't have to call him and say, we're going to use you as an insurance man. He told me that. He said, listen, Jim, if they have any questions, they can call me. I'm not there to sell them insurance. He said, now, if they're looking for insurance, great. We'll have that separate conversation. He said, but if they just have questions, they can call me. All right. And I got Rick's name. Who did I get Rick's name from? It'll come to me in just a minute. So his name's Rick Maxedon. He sounds like a pro wrestler. Rick Maxedon, his number is 314-657-2981. If you want that number and you didn't get it, then see me afterwards and I'll share that with you. So what the insurance companies are going to request is that at least one member of your team is someone who is former military or former or current law enforcement. And we have that at New Life Church. I think we have at least two that are former military. They make great safety team members. But that's what they're going to ask for. They're going to ask for at least one or two of those members on your team. And they typically ask that you do not have a directive where you're telling your safety team the situation into which they are to draw their firearm and shoot at someone. So in other words, you leave that to their training. It then becomes the church's responsibility if you're telling your safety team, hey, if this scenario ever happens, this is what we want you to do. They don't want you to do that, because then the training is now coming from you instead of the professionals.
Right.
So there needs to be no directives from the church saying, in these situations, do this. Now, our group has worked on scenarios, but they've worked on scenarios with professionals. The professionals walk them through scenarios, right? And they say, this is what it looks like. So just to make sure you don't do that. So they want to make sure that you don't do that kind of training, but they also want to make sure that your team has plenty of training on their own. Every one of our members have gone through conceal and carry. All of them. They've all been through a training where we were fortunate. We had somebody, a professor. His name is Craig Bishop. He was a professor at Olivet Nazarene University, former police chief, and he taught criminal law at Olivet. He came and did our original training. Now, since then, trainings are popping up all over the place. I don't think it's as difficult as you might think to get professional training. A lot of gun shops, a lot of, not target places, what am I thinking about? Shooting ranges, thank you, Jeff. Shooting ranges will have this type of training. Contact your local police department. Say, hey, this is what we're thinking about doing. Could you help us out with some training? Okay? So I would encourage you to make sure that they get that training, because your insurance company is going to ask if your folks have had that training. Okay? And then I would also encourage you to have a coverage policy that covers your individual team members. I also know this, when we contacted our insurance company, and I got a lot of flack for this, we live in Missouri, where you don't even need a conceal and carry permit to carry, right, in our state. And so our insurance company said, because you're taking care of security for your church, you need to post that sign right there. Right? And I don't know if you've ever talked with a gun enthusiast or firearm enthusiast in the past, but most of them will tell you, well, that's a ridiculous sign. I ain't going into places that won't let me defend myself. And I understand that line of thinking. I understand that completely, right? It makes you a target if people know that there are no guns in a location. I understand that. There's no way for people to defend themselves. But the insurance company said, you're going to take care of it, so then you need to put that sign up. So I said from the pulpit, the week we put the sign up and got some blowback, I said, look, you have to trust us that we've taken steps to ensure your safety while you're here. You don't need to bring your own firearm. We're good. Now, I didn't go into details and tell them all about our safety team or any of that. I just told them, you have to trust us that we've taken the steps to ensure that you are safe while you are here. Part of the responsibilities that the safety team has when it comes to someone who comes in carrying, I'll let Jeff explain that.
Yeah, so as Jeff said, this got a little bit of blowback, but I do appreciate him, you know, saying from the pulpit that we are protected. Now, we are very visible, so we wear our vests, we're in the parking lot, so it's not like the people don't know where the security is. Get that piece of it, and we don't try to cover that up. We're not trying to hide it. We're very, very, very visible. So we're very, I would say, passionate about the safety team all carries. Now, do I check everybody? Do we watch for everybody that's carrying? Do we ask them? We don't, and that's not what we do. We ask that they don't carry, but the requirements are for our church that it is just the safety team here inside the building. And I think all the people, and I gotta tell you, I've had multiple people who have stopped me in the parking lot at different times and said, I really appreciate that you're protecting us. And so they do get it, they understand. And I, you know, while there was a little blowback, we have never had an issue with somebody saying, hey, I think I need to carry too. Because they do, I think they feel confident that they're protected by us.
Yeah. I've had people who have visited our church and they'll tell me, hey, listen, I just want to let you know I'm going to be carrying when I come in. And I'll tell them, like, look, you don't need to. You just leave that in your car. We're good. We've got it covered. You don't have to worry about that. And then that puts them at ease as well, right? So that's huge. That's important. So I want to make sure I throw that out there. Let's see here. Let's go to the next slide. So the next step that I would take is providing training. As I said, your training should be done by a professional. There are a bunch of videos out there, but I think your insurance company would probably prefer some in-person training. Choose your team. I did this, and I prayed over everything. I prayed over who should be in charge of this team. I prayed over who should be on the team. We do all those things. We pray about that, about who those individuals are, because we're putting a lot of trust in their abilities and putting our lives literally in their hands. And so I would definitely make sure that you pray over that. I did not tell a bunch of people that we were putting together a safety team. Obviously, the leadership team knew that, right? And there are certain individuals that we know that because we've talked to them about it. Because we have the worship area, but then we have our kids in the back. So our teachers know who the safety team members are, just because they have a walkie-talkie in the back, and so they can communicate with one of our safety people just in case something happens or if they need to communicate to them. There's only one door that's unlocked on a Sunday morning at our church. We're fortunate that way. You have to walk by our safety team member in order to get into the building. So if anything were to happen or go down, that person can contact the people in the back. And we also have posted on our walls, and we train our teachers, if there is an active shooter, this is what you're to do. Now, we have fire-rated doors, and They're big, heavy, thick doors. So I'm glad for that. But this is what we've also done. We've went around and we've locked every single door and then put a magnet on the inside of the door frame so that the latch doesn't latch. So you can just push the doors open, because we've trained our teachers that if there is a shooting situation or an unsafe situation, push the door open, pull out the magnet, door shuts, it's automatically locked. You don't fumble around with a lock. You don't try to get the door closed a certain way. The door's already locked. You pull that magnet and it shuts. And then they're instructed to stay there safe in a corner of the room. Okay? So I would encourage you to do that, to have a plan for something along those lines, so the teachers are not guessing. They're not guessing when a safety team member comes back and gives them instruction or says something on the walkie-talkie. Okay? So I'd encourage you to do that, to provide some communication.
Okay. Yeah. Just real on that part of it, like Jim said, we've got the magnets, but part of our procedure is that obviously we have somebody up at the front door. That's the person that's on duty during that week. But if there's a situation, we also, I told you that everybody carries all of our safety teams. So in a week that you are not on, if there is a situation, they all know that the first thing that they do, not being on, is they go to the back. So while I have, or the person on duty has the call back to say there's a problem, they would lock the doors, but one of the off-duty security team is immediately supposed to go to the back. They will stand in the hall. There is one hall that gets to all of them, so they are that line of defense. Even though we have those doors all locked, that is an extra piece. And that's just part of the training that we chose to do, to say, while somebody's dealing with out in front, we want our kids very protected in the process. So one of the members would go back there and would be in the hallway to intervene in case of any situation.
Along those lines, too, when we put together the safety team, it wasn't just a safety team as much as it was a whole policy that we started putting forward when it comes to keeping our people safe. And I know this can be difficult for smaller churches, because I've been in those situations where you don't feel the need to check your kids in and out of the children's department, or put a sticker on them and match stickers with mom and dad with the child. And I understand that that isn't a cost and an expense. And I know what people say, well, I know all the kids that are in my class. I know all the kids that are in children's church. I know all the parents. Yeah, but you may have a visitor someday and you don't know them. Our kids are checked in and out, and we're anal about it, right? Like, if you go in and you didn't get checked in, go back out. You get the sticker, but you know me, I don't care. Get the sticker on the child, get the sticker on you, right? We're trying to create a safe environment. And so I would say, if you don't have a safety team and some of these other things, you may start with a safety team, but I think it needs to be an all-encompassing approach to safety in your church, especially for parents. Like, they trust you with their kid, and now they say, oh, there's a check-in process here, right? And I know people say, well, like, we have a nursery worker. Well, our nursery worker works at a local preschool, and she's been trained, and we pay for that. Why? Because we tell people we have a professional watching your child. Again, now I know churches can't afford that, but this has been our all-encompassing approach to safety, right, for the people that visit our church and our churches. We require all our safety members to carry. It's conceal and carry. They're not wearing it on their outside of their like a holster. They're not doing anything like that. It's concealed. They wear an orange vest. And we're going to get into this. Their responsibility is more than just safety.
Right.
As we started talking this through, and I'll let Jeff explain some of that. But we require them all to carry a firearm, and again, to get tested on it. And we prefer that they have their conceal and carry, at least with some other training. And again, local police stations are offering this training on a regular basis. Another thing too, when we started sharing this information with the O'Fallon Police Department, they said, listen, you got a safety team. We'd like to do something to help you out. We would like to come in and video record and map out your building, so that if we ever have to show up at your building with an active shooter involved, we'll know what the rooms look like. I said, absolutely. Why wouldn't I let him do that? Right? So they came in with a camera and they recorded all the rooms. They recorded all the pathways in and out, the exits, the entrances. They recorded all of that. And now they use that for their active shooter training in the city of O'Fallon. Right? I want the pros coming in with all the knowledge that they have. Whatever we can do, right? And we'll talk a little bit more about how we can identify our safety team to the police department. So again, I would encourage you, if you can, work with your local law enforcement. Let's go ahead and go to the next one, the next slide. So let's start over here in the far left documentation. I would encourage you to start a file right away. I would keep a copy of all your safety team members' driver's license, their conceal and carry permits. I would keep a training log. Again, these are things your insurance company is going to ask for. A training log, so you write down when they've had training, where they've had training, who gave the training, the date of all that. Keep that log in a file. Okay. I would also have a written security plan. Again, this is something the insurance company is going to ask for. Jeff put together a whole PowerPoint that is our security plan, and that was sufficient for the insurance company. But what's more important is that our safety team knows it. So that's important. Also, I give a copy of this file to the local law enforcement. I take that file and make copies of all that, and then I take it down to the police station, and I go, here's our safety team. Here's their pictures. This is what they look like. You know why? Because I don't want them in the line of fire when the police do show up. I want our police department to be able to identify our safety team, the good guys, right? Plus, I want them also to know that we are doing our best to keep their citizens, our parishioners, safe. So I would encourage you to do that. And I know this is a no-brainer, but I threw it in there anyway. You can't have somebody on your safety team that doesn't have a background check. I mean, I know that's a given, but you just can't. And we have a policy that if you volunteer at our church, you have to have a safety background. You just do. I don't care who you're working with. Right? So for our children, I believe that it's every year that you get checked. I think if it's in other areas, it's every 2 years. But you have to have a safety background check. You have to. It's just mandatory. Okay, the next section over there, more than security. And I'll let Jeff talk a little bit more about this. I'll go through this, but then I'll let him go into great detail. So they're considered parking lot greeters. Because when we started putting this together, just like, yeah, I don't want to be out there like, oh, there's the gunslinger that's taking care of us, right? No, they're the first people that are going to greet you in the parking lot, which is awesome. They are responsible for contacting first responders. That's also part of their responsibility. They're responsible for locking up the building. They may not be the last one to leave, but they are the person who secures the building for closure. Okay? And then maintenance check. They're there to walk perimeter around the church to start their shift, and they're to see if there's anything that they can visibly see that is broken or out of place or needs repair. That just kind of helps us with upkeep with the building. And then also they're all trained in first aid. And I'll let Jeff kind of go into detail about those things.
Yeah, thanks, Jeff. So I think the parking lot greeter, I think that's been probably the funnest part of the job. Everybody that's on the team likes that because we are a greeter. We are the first people that a lot of people see out. And it is, it's a comfort level. I'm probably more an extrovert than some, but I think that's really important that people see us, we're visible, we're shaking hands when it's raining, we've got the umbrellas, we're out there anyway, that's what we should do. So it is a big piece of that. Plus, we know most of those that are they're regulars, so when somebody does come that is new, that's great, wonderful, but we still, that's part of what we have to do is to understand this is somebody new, we keep an eye on that, making sure that we understand they are, but especially greeting those people. And I always introduce myself, get their name, so I think that's an important piece. And then contact first responders. We've had this before. So if somebody falls and it's back down to the first aid, a big piece of the safety team is, and probably more what we actually do is, if there is a problem, we've had a problem where somebody had a potential heart attack, That's our responsibility. We're contacting, we're getting a hold, we're calling 911, making sure they're there, making sure that they, when they come up, we've had the fire department show up before where they got there was an alarm that went off and we're right there. We have to, we're bringing them in, we're making sure that they, that everybody gets cleared out and pushing through. So that's our responsibility to make sure, make that call, but also clear the way so when they get there, we're greeting them in the parking lot, we're taking them to wherever the issue is. That's a big part. Now, I'll say that one of the things that we kind of laugh about is that our people have to memorize the church's address. You'd be surprised. It's like, okay, San Antonio Cool Springs is up there. But it says, right, you know, I know my address, but, you know, it's like, you're calling 911, where are you? New Life Church. Where's that? You don't have time. So it is part of the training to memorize and to understand where what the address is. So, that's a piece of it. The maintenance check, we've probably done more than that than anything else when we walk around the building. Now, that's a security check, too. So we say a maintenance check. Yes, it's a maintenance check we're looking. But honestly, part of our training was that doing a perimeter check every day, every Sunday is important. So we walk the full building. We've got areas that are enclosed back where the air conditioning units are. So we're looking inside of those as we go around just to make sure. But while we're doing it, it's, oh, that filter, the container is broken, it's out, or something else, or there's a hole here or there. So we found many, many things in it, but the purpose is to just make sure we clear the perimeter, understand what's going on with that, but also as we're doing it, see if there's things going on with maintenance too. And then, of course, trained in first aid. That's basic first aid. That's one of the additional trainings. We don't require that. That we say, you know, be CPR trained, but it is a very big one, and we kind of want to push that as we go forward to say that's an additional training we'd like everybody to have. We've got a lot of nurses in our church, so they kind of take care of that too, but having that basic first aid, it is part of what we have to do.
You want to go down that list of our team?
Sure. So, two people carrying at all times. It's normally more than that, but it is, as you said, you're always on when you're on the safety team. So we have our schedule. We use ISER. I have my date. We schedule ourselves out, usually 6-8 months in advance. But then everybody is asked that's on the safety team to carry when they're not there. And one of those is there's responsibility. So when you're not carrying and you're in the congregation, part of that training is, what do I do if I'm in the congregation and somebody's, there's a disruption in the back, or many times if there's a disruption in the service. So I'm by the back door, I'm on. So, but the safety team is in the congregation. So there is that part of the training that says, what do you do if we have somebody that's disruptive in it? So there's two people carrying at least all the time that's there. I would say it's more like all of us every week that are there. Easily identified. Again, we don't hide ourselves. We wear an orange vest. It's a hunting vest. But that's who we are. Now, mainly, I'll say that's because we're in the parking lot. We don't want to get run over. While we're out there, we're the attendants. But it is the visibility that people know that we're security. I'm not just wandering around in the parking lot. I've got that orange vest on. People recognize that I'm supposed to be there. I'm part of that. And then
talk about the sash too.
Yes, and I'll talk about that in a second. So when Jim said that we're known by the O'Fallon police, one of the things that they asked us to do is to get keys, and we clip these to our belts. So this is a sash that if there is a thing, it just opens right up and it pulls right out and over. And it's got a lanyard on it that is different than the orange vest, but identifies us as somebody that's on the security team, specifically for the police. So if they come in, if they see this, this is something that, not that somebody couldn't go by this, but this is our protection on it above and beyond that. If there is an event, we just flip it out, it just goes right over the shoulder, and it would identify us. So it's additional identification other than the orange vest, but for police, we do have that as something. And if you're interested in that, there's a website that is real easy to get and relatively easy. Walkie-talkies, so part of our job is that we give a walkie-talkie to each of the classes, the Sunday school classes for the kids. So we take those out. That's part of our pre-check-in that day is we carry one, but when all the classrooms, and the intent of that is really so we can, first of all, they can tell us if they have a problem. So they can say, hey, I've got an issue. Can you come in? Whether it's some kind of a physical issue, something, they don't have to run and have one of the kids run out or some of the other.
they can call us right away with that, so we can then go and help them with that particular piece of it. So we pull those out. And then serve once a month, that's just our schedule. We have enough to where we can do that, have a little bit extra, so we serve once a month as our process. And then a code word of praise. I think that's important, especially for Jim. So as if there is a disturbance outside, and that is one of the pieces of it that we watch for, is we need to let, and I need to let Jim know, he doesn't have to walk and talk. So we developed a code word that if I yell that from the back, he will know what's going on, and that phrase is, it's coffee time. That was mine. So if you hear me say that, he knows that that's our code word, that something's going on that he needs to be aware of, and then he's going to take action. I will add one to this. We didn't put it here, that we say we carry. Do people carry? This is a recent change, so we all carry a firearm. But in our last training that I did, I was online, they were like, you need to have a non-lethal opportunity. So not always having a guard gun. So we carry mace. So that was just some pepper spray, say mace. We decided that we as a safety team wanted to have that a situation where if there's somebody disruptive, and you know, the scenario on the training was that, you know, protesters show up, they want to storm, they want to do whatever disrupt. I don't even have to pull my gun. I mean, you just in training, those that have had it, you pull your gun if you intend to use it. I'm not going to intend to use that, so we do carry pepper spray. Now that's our regular that we added to it for safety to be able to say, yes, that's a non-lethal disarm.
It's good. No, it's good. Thanks.
Curious, if you're preaching, it's the middle of Sunday morning, you've got all congregation, eyes are on you, you're at the door, someone's coming in, you have to holler out, it's coffee time. What is the plan for you to keep your congregation safe, because the front door is where the problem is at?
So that's what's important, to have more than one person carry and have more than one person on the safety team. They may not be on for that week, right? But they know what they need to do at that moment. That's why we have more than another person. Plus, that phrase is typically only if it's something that is going to disrupt the service.
Right.
So if the safety team person can handle the situation without disrupting the service, then they won't use that code. But if we're all in danger, they will say that. That'll also allow the other safety team members to know something's going down. They know the code word as well.
Right.
So then, sorry, just a little follow-up.
It's all right. Yep.
You're not a part of the safety team. Everything's been released. But you do have some sort of plan if he says that, what you're directing the congregation to do, right?
Yes, there would be something said at that moment. Yeah, we'd say, I guess we've never really talked about that.
Right.
We're more focused on the threat and taking care of that, right? I hope people would use some common sense in the middle of that, right? To maybe hit the ground. I guess if they see Pastor Jim running off the platform,
yes,
it's a good idea to everybody start taking off.
It's a difficult one, and I think that's in our training, because no scenario, and typically something's going to happen, you react.
Yeah.
I was giving him that this is serious. There's a problem. The safety team knows there's the problem. One is going to the back. Then there is going to be those that will come and help me deal with whatever the issue is. That was just because even with me and the walkie-talkie, there's times that we know that I'm not going to be able to take, hold on, let me get my walkie-talkie out.
Right.
That is something that we put in to say, I can yell that pretty quickly on the way out the door, whatever that is that I need to do. It just really highlights that there's something going on. But I would say more, it's for the rest of the security team to go into action.
Yeah.
Because I won't have time to necessarily get out and walkie-talkie or tell everybody. But that's just more intended for the safety team than Jim. But obviously, let him know what's going on. Keep everybody calm. Obviously, there should be some disruption.
They're assuming that if anybody's coming in shooting, they're going to go for me first. I guess that's what they mean by that.
You may run over a bunch of topics later on. Non-lethal disruptions. The irate vagrant comes in.
Sure.
Different signal, different scenario.
That's handled within that person, right? So if he doesn't say that, right, and I hear something going on in the back, then I'll know that it's something that he can control or they can control, right? Part of the training that I think is important in all this is de-escalation.
Yep.
right? Is training these men and women to de-escalate the situation if someone comes in and they're being loud. And we've had that to where someone has come in and they're obnoxious, and one of the safety team members was smart enough, they were able to escort them outside and say, let's have this conversation outside. Yeah.
Not lethal.
Right.
Disruption.
Right. The firearm usage is the last resort. Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
Slightly off topic, but very closely related.
Okay.
And I'm a professor of communication, which is why I'm asking this. Crisis communication plan. So after the event, an event potentially happens where they have an active shooter, you're going to have people from the media calling the church, you're going to have people, someone's going to have to call attorneys, someone's going to have to call the insurance company, and that shouldn't all necessarily fall on the pastor. Would some call the DS for that matter? Do you have a plan, or can you recommend a communication plan in place for, because obviously that extends maybe even beyond your security team. Do you have a communication plan in place for post-crisis, if you will?
That is a great question, and this is exactly why we're having this seminar right now and why I'm not a professional. That is a great idea. I would encourage, we do not, but I would encourage churches to use your board for that. I would pull three or four people off that and go, hey, if something goes down, these are the three response. Start with your secretary, because that's kind of second or third in command. Yeah, all the secretaries of the boards are shaking their head no. But that's great. No, that's great. That's very smart. Like, these are the things that you would need to do. You're right, because the insurance company would need to be called right away. The DS better be called right away, right? And probably more than that, you may have to go a little bit further than that. But yeah, you're going to have to field questions and everything else coming from the media.
There's an article I read recently that was talking about the CEO should not be a company spokesperson.
Amen.
And I think that applies personally, pastors.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Staff should always do that.
That's what I told her.
Yeah, staff should always do that. No, I'm just kidding. No, that's excellent. Thank you for bringing that up. No, that's good. Did you make a mental note of that? Okay. Any other questions?
Yeah, I have a question.
Yes.
I understand I could be an error. When you do have a no firearms posted on your property, for someone to come in and carry, like your team, there has to be a written approval on file that you have allowed them to carry in the building, even though it's supposed to be no carry. Is that correct?
That is correct. Yeah, that's part of our policy. Yeah, the policy. Yes. The policy is written with their names in it. Absolutely. And that's we give a copy of that to the police department. And of course, the insurance company is going to demand it. But yes, that is correct. That is the law. Yep.
How many people do you have on your team?
Just five of us.
What's your congregation size?
175?
Yeah, about 175, 180.
Another question I have, just like when you're a pilot, you have to log so many hours per month in order to maintain your license. To carry, concealed carry, do you require that they go to the gun range and use their gun so often a month to make sure that their skills are active and you know, I mean, because you,
just because
you have a concealed carry, but maybe I haven't used my gun in 6 months.
Right.
Do you require some type of, that, you know, they're
up
to par?
Yeah, I just know this is nothing formal. That's the formal piece is technically we don't have to have what you choose to the concealed carry. So that's an automatic piece. But I would say that's been part of our, when we choose somebody and when we talk to somebody about being in that they stay up on their firearm training, I'll say, making sure that they're doing that B7. So I would say it's not our formalized piece. Our formalized piece is, yeah, you have to renew your concealment period every X number of years. You're going to have to do that. That
keeps it. 3 years.
Right. But you know, I think that's part of me knowing personally the men, the other four men that are part of ours, that I know that they are doing that. Several of them. So I know that they are keeping up on that training, but we don't have that formally written out that they need to do X number of hours logging on the range.
Is that what you're using those poster-sized pictures of me for? I wondered what that was about.
Pastor Jim?
Yes, sir.
Do you investigate doing this professionally? I mean, hiring a professional security team before you went into your congregation to do?
You know, there are a lot of churches who hire off-duty police officers. I would say if you have the budget, man, that would be like that would be top-notch, right?
That's the question. Where's the bang for the buck?
So it
cost you a lot to do this.
It did, but there's the initial investment, right? And so we were willing to do that. We were willing to make the initial investment compared to having an off-duty officer. But I tell you what I have done in the past. I've prayed, Lord, send me a cop. I know that sounds weird, but and he did a couple weeks ago. He pulled over our youth pastor. She's not here. I wish she was in here for that. Justina and I had a good. I was literally on my way to church. And I'm like, that looked like Lauren. Wait a second. Expired license plates. Oh my word. I agree with what you're saying. If we had the money for that continued presence, that's what I would. That would be my preference. But because we don't have that kind of money, I felt like this was doing something better than doing nothing. Yeah. Yeah, but we are still praying, man. We're still praying for... We had one, but he didn't want to be on the safety team. He's like, I'm done carrying a gun. I'm like, okay, all right. Any other questions? Yes, Tiffany. You got to be careful with what you mean by procedure, right? Because there's a legal term between, there's a difference between procedure and directive. So we have safety procedures that we follow. There cannot be a directive from the church that says, you shoot in this situation.
Right.
That's when the churches become responsible.
Yep.
That's the way it's been explained to us from the insurance company. They said, don't do that. Like, you can have a procedure of all the things we've talked about, but not a directive saying you must fire or use your firearm in this situation.
Right.
Yeah, and you are correct. I think that's why the insurance company asked for that. Same kind of thing, because they're going to ask when it happens. Did you follow this?
I'm just curious. Does your team carry restraints? Is that a question?
No, carry restraints. No, they do not.
I would suggest that because if you have someone aggressive and you shot them, you need a restraint so you can treat them.
Yep. No, we don't. I zip ties in my car. I keep those for that purpose. Seriously, I do, but I don't carry them. It's not in my personal piece that I carry.
If they're combative, you have to get first aid, but you do have
Yep. It's a good point.
It's a good point. I don't know that we've ever run across any training that says that. But here you go, Jeff.
Something to restrain somebody if they were
shot. Any other questions or comments, helpful insights?
I'm sorry.
No, you're fine.
You may not have an answer to this, but our churches are very different. Our building seems to have been built with maybe fire escapes in mind, but not necessarily safety of our children. I think I can count 7 entrances into the children's department. We run maybe 75 people on a Sunday morning for service, so there's not a big pool to choose from to try to cover as much of the building as we have. And those 7 entrances aren't all of the entrances to the building. They're just possible ways to get down to the children. So where do we start when we're limited in budget, limited in people, and have plenty of doors?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing obviously is to lock them all, right? But we've seen shooters in the last couple months shoot through a door and walk right through them, right? An all glass door.
Okay.
right? So they could still gain access even though the door was locked. But I think those things are huge in what you spend your money on as a church, right? So like you know our church, like we've got that back door, it's an exit door. There's no handle on the other side, right? So there is just one way in and out of that children's department. And so I would say as a church to do whatever you could to make sure that you lock that area down the best that you can to make sure that there's just one access in and out. Now, I would say you've got to be careful with the fire marshal because they're going to want to make sure that you can get out, right? But so far as someone coming into that area, and I would say this too, if you cannot secure that as much as you would like to, then the safety person doubles or triples that area.
Yep.
You don't just go around once. You go around a second time. You go around a third time during the service, right? To make sure that they're visually checking these places that are unsafe. And that's one of the things that we have is they know that the weakest area of our building are the front doors. That's why their chair sets right by the front door once I start preaching.
Yep. And I would say the only thing that you can do on the exterior, and that's the budget, is to appropriate as much as you can, like every year or whatever, to replace those with a seal door that's got the mesh that makes it very difficult. You don't have, even fire marks, you don't have to have a handle on the outside. It makes it very difficult. I mean, the steel one we have in the back, there ain't anybody going to get through that. I don't care if they're shooting whatever. They would not get through that door. So I think, but it's just a replacement thing. It's a budget thing of just replacing those and trying to be as safe as possible.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yep. Good questions, though. Any other questions, comments, helpful suggestions? Yes, sir.
Did you consider tasers?
I'll say yes and no.
What was the question?
The question was, do we consider tasers? And I would say, for our non-lethal, we chose a pepper spray because it's easier, a simpler, a cheaper option, and probably as effective, maybe a little effective. I would say, you know, it's not on the cheap side, so I didn't get the little cheap one there. It's a little bigger canister. That will shoot out a little bit with a gel-based one. So I think just spending that a little bit extra to say, yeah, we're gonna have a little higher quality on that. So, but I would say it was in our thought process, but we felt pepper spray was important.
And this is ongoing, you know what I mean? As each time something happens, you know, in our culture, new safety ideas come up and procedures come up. And so that's why the consistent training is important. Yes?
Did you guys drill?
We do have training. I'll say we're probably not as good as we should be. We have had training situations where we do drill. I will say that we share with each other very clearly, and we've had multiple scenarios that fortunately didn't turn out to be issues, but they were great training. So, I think that's part of our documentation. So we had somebody that I knew was not part of the church come in very late and just kind of walked in, looked at me, and kind of saw the service going on and went right toward the back, which our restrooms are there. So I followed him. And I think part of the safety team needs to be bold, but pleasant. I mean, it's not, hey, stop. It was, hey, can I help you? Are you looking for something? And it turned out he was at the wrong church. He's like, I'm here for a big baptism? And I'm like, no, we're not having that here. And I'm like, what's the church name? He gave it to me. And I'm like, oh, yeah, different lights. So, you know, but it was, it was being bold, but not being disruptive to somebody and making them afraid. So we share that as, hey, this is something that happened. We had somebody keep pulling into the parking lot next to us, and we're watching all the time. I mean, pulled in one, stopped, sat there for a little bit, left, came back a third time. You know, and again, we walked out, went over. He was looking for a church. He was like, he's getting his address. And I asked him where he's at. I'm like, no, that's up and over and to it. But it was being bold, but being friendly.
But those are what we share. Mm. Those are the things that you just share with each other to say, here's what we should have done, or how should I handle that differently? What do you think? Talking about that. That's important when you see things too. But I'd say you need to pick people that will be bold enough not to just let somebody walk through and kind of wave and go, oh, I don't want to offend them or whatever. It's, you know, you need to walk up.
That is part of our written plan, is a fire and tornado. There's signs that are up, and the safety team is aware of the procedures, what we have on the walls. Going back to what you said, so when Craig Bishop, Officer Craig Bishop, came and did our training, we had talked about scenarios, and he had told us, he said, I don't think it's necessary. He said, I think you're going to get that training through the police department. If you go to any of their training, they're going to walk through scenarios. He goes, what I want to teach your safety team is this building and a situation in this building. Right? And again, we're walking that fine line of it being a directive from us and more of a policy, like, hey, if this guy, if this person seems suspicious, you can follow them. You know what I mean? You have the right to start talking to them and kind of investigate, right? But then we kind of draw the line of your training with the police department. And they're excellent at that. The police department training that I've been to with some of our guys, they do go over scenarios. Yeah, we've been a little slow on that because we want it to be a safe place, so we want it to be there without being there, and so I don't want to bring a whole lot of attention to where you set somebody's anxiety off, right? And so we've tried to be careful and to not get that far. Nothing from the training we've received. From the insurance company or these other organizations, have they ever said you should share this with your church? Now, they have fire and tornado. Active shooter, they've never come to us and said, hey, you probably should talk about this on a Sunday morning, right? Now, we've thought about it and what that would look like, but what we've done is we've tried to be extra cautious in not setting people alarms off in their head or making them feel uneasy. Don't get me wrong, I see the benefit of that. Right? But one thing I've learned as a pastor, you cannot control the public. These guys we can train, and they will have the proper response. I can't control what these folks are going to do. I can't get them to all tithe. So much less respond the right way. Sorry, that was pastor humor. That was bad pastor humor. Sorry about that. Yes?
Yells the coffee code word, you know there's something going on. It is a shooting or something pretty violent. They're calling somebody else. The people in the congregation at that point, would you then tell them everyone needs to get down, or would you push them to corners? What would you...
So what I've heard before is where they've asked people to get down. There's a couple of scenarios. I wouldn't push them to the corner because there's no way out. Right? I wouldn't want to box them in.
I guess I mean like just out of the first line of view, when you're coming through the sanctuary door, I'm imagining my church.
Sure.
You come in, you're looking right at the pulpit. Mm-hmm. It gets wider. Kind of like this room, right? If someone's coming right in, would you just tell them to get down?
Or yeah. I would hope that I would say something to them, give them, you know what I mean, some kind of instruction. I wouldn't just let it go. Right. Because that's the purpose of them telling me that there's something going on, so that I could be aware. And I could, and so watch what's going on. Plus, that word is immediately going to get three or four other people up and to the safety team member. So now all of a sudden, I've got reinforcements, so now I can hopefully try to control what's going on here, right? But I can, we're lucky. I can visually see everything. I can see the back door. And I know not all churches are like that. Most churches are probably not like that. We're fortunate. I would say for a situation where you can't, then that probably wouldn't be a bad idea to talk through what that statement would be from the platform.
Right. So, and that really is the safety team's responsibility. So, I'll say the code word, while it's for Jim, it's to jump the others in action. So, one is going to go to the back. The others are going to come find out what's going on because they don't want to know. They don't know what's going on. But their responsibility then would be to take action with the congregation, and including giving directions on this. Because what you don't want is, I don't want Jim guessing. He needs to know what's going on. The others are going to be taking care of that, coming and seeing what's going on, and then giving directions, whether that's evacuate out the back, take cover, whatever. But there's so many things that could be going on. That's what the safety team, though, has to do as part of that, is finding out, because whoever's on is not going to have time. They're not going to have time to give direction. The others are really taking control to find out what's going on and then to help understand and give Jim, I guess, direction. But they would take control of the congregation to say, everybody down, whatever that is, that would be the safety team's responsibility.
And so, again, I'll reiterate, this is what we do. That's why, this is what we do at New Life. That's why it's important, if you're going to do this, to have the face-to-face training, that you bring the trainer into your church so then they can address your unique building, right? And that's what we had. We had Craig Bishop come in. He addressed the needs of our church. We walked room to room, and he would say, all right, if someone came into this, you know what I mean? Almost kind of like scenarios, but he was setting up situations. So that's what I would say. It's important to how your team members get trained, and that they get trained in the church, right? I think that would be hugely beneficial. Because, I mean, there's all kinds of things that could come up. And some of this, you just don't know until it happens, right? We're not perfect, but we're going to try to do something. And again, I'll say this again. I'll say this one more time. It's better than doing nothing. But now, just because you do something, do it safely, right? But also do something. And that's where I felt like we were at. We hadn't done anything. And I felt like we could do something. And so that's why we did. Okay, I want to be respectful of time. Want to do me a favor? Allow me to do you a favor, I guess. Do me a favor, I guess, too. I don't know how you want to look at it. Let me pray for you. Can I do that? Let me pray for your churches. Let me pray that if there's some seeds planted, that God will show you what the next step is for your church, okay? Heavenly Father, we're thankful that we can pray to a God that we know and believe can protect us. We believe that. We're not doubting the power of God. But we also know that you have given us resources, you've given us wisdom, and you expect us to use both those things in the right way. So, Father, I'm thankful for our safety team. They're the first people to see guests. They make the first contact when guests come to our church. That's awesome. And they're smiling faces. These guys enjoy and love what they do. And they're making a difference, not just keeping us safe, but they're making a difference for our church. And so, Father, I pray for these churches right here. The ones that are hearing this for the first time, or maybe you've planted a seed and or a thought or idea, hey, this is something you probably should look at. I pray, Father, you allow them to know what the next step is. And Father, help us as churches to share this information. We don't do it perfectly. We're still learning. And so, Father, help us to learn from other churches and help churches to be able to share valuable information with each other to keep your flocks safe and secure. And again, Father, thank you for this moment and this time, and thank you for the district that is willing to carve some time out to talk about this. I appreciate that. And so, Father, I pray you also bless this last service that we have together, where we pray all these things in your name. Amen. Thank you, guys. Appreciate you guys being here. Thank you.